So your feelings are definitely that you probably can't do millennial anymore for sure, right?
I know I can do it for a bit, but I don't
You won't
think it's
be able to
something I'd
do
be
it.
able to ultimately do, yeah.
I'm on the phone with Devin, my editor. She's been working on Millennial for a little more than a year, and it's safe to say I talk to her more than I talk to my mom. I call her up to bounce story ideas off of her when I'm stressed out about an episode, and her texts are the ones I always look forward to, especially the ones that say, hey, don't worry, we're going to make this episode work because we always do. The conversation we're having, I knew would happen at some point, but it wasn't one I was looking forward to.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like love to just say, yes, I could do it, but I just, you know, it would really concern me that I couldn't give it the attention.
She's telling me she won't be able to work on the show anymore because she's taking a full-time job with a podcasting network in New York City. We both know it's an amazing opportunity, but that doesn't make the news any easier to hear. In the last few months, I've been working on expanding Millennials' focus to tell other people's stories, a shift I'm excited about but haven't entirely figured out. Having an editor has helped ease these growing pains, but now she's leaving.
All right, have a great night, girl.
Okay, you too. All right,
thank you. Bye.
When we hang up, my mouse wanders over to the website of Devin's new place of work, and I start scrolling through the company's roster. At this company, I imagine she and all of her colleagues are working closely on projects, passing each other in the hallways, grabbing coffee together, talking about story and podcasting and solutions to episodes. Most of all, I imagine her taking notes in a beautiful office in New York City, side by side with some of the best audio makers in the industry. A part of me knows she's going to grow in ways she may have never been able to do with Millennial. As I sit back from my computer and look around my office in Maine, I wonder, what am I doing here? You're listening to Millennial, a podcast about coming of age. In this episode, we're going to chew on this question. Does the place where you're living define the professional you'll become?
It'd be nice to spend half of our time here and half of our time in Portland. Maybe.
Months before, I'm sitting on a bus looking over at my boyfriend, Ben, leaving Manhattan. Moving to New York is something that's been on my mind for a while. If you've been listening since the beginning, there was one point a couple years ago when I was trying to get a job there.
It seems like you have seen the benefits of New York. You don't feel that way?
Why don't you just tell me about how you're feeling?
I mean, I feel like I'm going to go back to Portland. And I feel like I'm really going to be making work. I don't know if it's still good or not.
Even though Millennial is a part of this wonderful network, Radiotopia, which is full of some of the best independent radio producers and podcasts in the country, when I'm working on an episode, it's me and the show's producer, Justine, and it sometimes feels like we're working in a void, not really knowing if what we're making is any good or not. When I'm in the room with Justine, looking for new stories or crafting out the next episode, that's when the doubt starts to creep in.
You don't know what you're doing. None of this is really good. This isn't a story.
The silence in the room can sometimes get really loud. If I were living in a place like New York City, surrounded by other radio producers, I feel like I could meet up with them, get guidance, listen to the way they do things, or just physically be next to someone who understands what it's like to make a podcast.
Hello?
Hey!
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you? This is Annie. A lot of people talk about moving to New York City, but Annie is someone who actually took the leap. A little over a year ago, she packed her bags and moved to the city to take a job at Radiolab, one of the most well-known and well-respected podcasts in the U.S.
I mean, there are cockroaches here?
which I've never, ever seen before. And when I saw my first one, I was like, what? Is that some sort of water bug? Like when you're sitting in Maine, I imagine you're sitting in Maine at your kitchen table with like a mug of tea in the morning, looking over the ocean with like maybe a wild rose bush.
The scene she's describing isn't really far from the truth. I mean, the state license plate of Maine literally says vacation land. But I wonder when I'm in my 20s if I really need to be living in vacation land. Annie knows exactly what I'm talking about.
I was living in a small town in Canada called St. John's. It's in the province of Newfoundland and Labrador, so it's like super east as you possibly can get. And I was like quite lonely. I mean, it was just feeling isolated and not at all sure that it was something that I was supposed to be doing. And so I was just kind of like pushing forward into the fog. I like being the worst at whatever it is I want to do in a place. Like if I'm already kind of the best or the only one doing it, then I wanted to be pulled up by the people around me, not just like, well, I can just make some art and then people maybe will listen.
But like, do you feel like you've been able to become like this professional producer that you wouldn't have been able to, you know, become by yourself because you are next to people who are just more experienced than you?
Yeah, I think that's true.
I like was so nervous about talking to someone in New York City because I was like, I don't want them to say the thing that...
I know, it's so boring. But I mean, when you're running a race and you're the fastest one running the race, then you're going to win and you're not going to like push yourself. But if there's someone way faster than you, you're going to run way faster in the race and you're going to realize like, oh my gosh, I can run way faster. And it's just the way it is, I think. New York makes you fucking run like crazy. And you're kind of dying a little bit all the time here too. But... when you're young, when you're in your mid-20s, early 30s, I think you should go to a place where you're deeply challenged. And I don't know, it's a real growing period. And I think we all owe that to ourselves to challenge ourselves in a big way, at least once in life.
As Annie's talking, I'm nodding in agreement. I think she's right. New York City. How much is a bedroom? But when I start crunching numbers financially, I wouldn't be able to make millennial full time if I were living in New York City. Plus, I like living in Portland. If that's the case, how do I address the challenges of living in vacation land? That's up next. But first, a short break. Support for Millennial comes from Lyft. After a late night out dancing with friends, I'm usually tired and sweaty, and I don't feel like walking home. So I pull out my phone and catch a ride. With Lyft, it's easy to be driven somewhere, and it's easy to become a driver. As a driver, you can pick your own hours, work when you want, and you can work with a company that believes in treating its people better. How do they do that? Lyft offers in-app tipping, and 100% of the tips are yours. They also use Express Pay, where you can get paid almost instantly. You can earn hundreds of dollars a week plus tips. And if you want to make more money, you can drive more. You're the one in control of giving yourself a raise. For Lyft, it's a simple formula. Happy drivers mean happy passengers. Join the ride-sharing app that believes in treating its people better. Go to lyft.com/millennial today. And you can get a $500 new driver bonus. Again, that's Lyft, LYFT.com/millennial. Limited time only and terms apply.
It looks like spring. I live on top of a hill with nobody in sight. So it's very, very rural.
I'm on the phone with Erica. She produces a podcast called Rumble Strip, and I'm calling her because she left New York almost 15 years ago. She was working as a documentary producer, but now she works in audio storytelling all by herself in rural Vermont.
I remember the exquisite discomfort of being 25. There's still a really loud soundtrack playing, and you're like, what's going to happen to me? And
yeah.
I just don't, you know, I mean, I don't feel that anymore, which is kind of awesome.
She's also my new favorite person.
Yes, really, just make a bird sound if I take a hard left, just go blah, 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 and then we'll turn, we can shift gears.
Okay. So I lay it on her, my anxieties about being a producer and this show and how I've thought about moving to New York City.
Yeah, I think the thing about being in a place where there are a jillion people and a place that's as expensive and hard to be as New York is, everything is kind of ratcheted up. You know, there are bigger egos. Things are moving fast. Things are expensive. So it's all just really challenging.
I tell her about being in the office and how sometimes it feels like we're not getting anywhere, especially if we're trying something new.
You're trying to expand your menu of the format also?
Yep.
Okay. And you feel like you're running into a wall of, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know how to write this little like bio that goes at the top of the story that tells you who this guy is.
Or just like finding the guy. When I say finding the guy, I just mean a compelling person whose story can fit into an episode. You know?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
I am always wondering where the guy is. I have total periodic crises about where's the guy.
Uh-huh.
But I think that happens everywhere.
Yeah.
I have a couple questions. Do you feel an ebbing of your curiosity, or do you sometimes doubt what you're curious about? Doubt it in that, like, you think, this is interesting to me, but what if it's not interesting to other people?
I think probably a little bit of both. Yeah. This is what I think is happening. There's like this worry in my mind, and that clouds the curiosity.
You're describing something that I think that I definitely feel and struggle with, you know, using the S word, I think is a spiritual challenge sometimes that, you know, when you're stuck or when I'm stuck and I don't feel curious, I really do think it's some kind of, you know, it's like a lunar cycle. Like there's just, there's an ebbing that happens. And the excitement that's so much why we do this in the first place, it will come back. You can always trust it. But it's cyclical.
It's nice to talk to someone like this. All the while I've been struggling with my artistic demons in Maine, Erica has been a couple hundred miles away struggling with her own. But I still had to ask her this question. In a place like Maine and Vermont, do you think you can be your best professional self there?
Oh, Jesus Christ, Megan. I actually don't know the answer to that question. I am inherently unsatisfied. So maybe the answer to that, the honest answer would be no. But I don't think that my problems would be solved if I moved to Brooklyn.
How do you think your problems would be solved?
The bigger problem or the bigger question here is really about just a feeling of enoughness. Enoughness. And that's one you carry with you on the plane to Norway and wherever you're going. I find myself in a circumstance where at least I have enough room to ask the question and wrestle with that. And I wrestle with that here better than I would somewhere else.
When I get off the phone with Erica alone in my closet, I think about this feeling of enoughness and how I've been trying to find a geographic solution to my creative problems. In a lot of ways, I could say New York City feels like the answer, but it's never that easy. Deep down inside, I'll never stop asking myself how I can improve, if I'm sitting next to the ocean or if I'm living among an ocean of people. Does that mean I'll ever stop asking this question of being enough? Editing for this episode was provided by Ben Severance and Alex Morrow. It was produced by Justine Paradise. The voices you heard were Annie McEwen and Erica Heilman. Special thanks to Jacob Lewis, Sarah Brooke Curtis, Tally Abacasis, and Galen Koch. And a huge, huge thanks to Devin Taylor, who helped edit this episode and has helped edit the 26 others that came before it. You can follow the show on Twitter at MillennialPDCST, Facebook, and Instagram. Millennial is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX with support from the Knight Foundation. I'm Megan Tan, and thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.